Let's get this guy sacked now.
No club has come close to spending the type of money United spent.
He got a player that could just fit, go into his system, and he knew would listen to him.
You don't sound depressed.
Sean Dyche tactics, though. How's that happening at Manchester United? That's crazy.
Sancho's leading it right now.
Okay, all right. Martinez, one out of 11.
How can you be a dead receptionist and it means Rashford hasn't got 30 goals because my receptionist is dead? And they're probably some of our favourites, which is going to hurt me to say.
All right, so today's show, we've got a special guest. I've actually brought in my brother-in-law, Yuvraj, who'll be talking all things Man United and telling us how he really feels about the current state and the situation going on at Old Trafford right now. We've had several discussions and I thought, you know what, it's probably about time now we get him on the podcast and let him air his thoughts. Of course, we've got James here as well and see if they're in agreement with some things. There might be some disagreements, but really just to get his thoughts on some of the things that are going on at United right now. Obviously, they're talk of the town. Things are a bit, you could say, stressful at Old Trafford. Is that fair to say?
I'd like to just point out that I'm not just all things United. I do quite like football in general. So
that's also why I've got him in, so he can also shit on all of our teams as well. Chelsea ain't that great. Arsenal, well, we're doing all right, so he's probably not got much to say. But look, this is a special United episode, actually, because there's a lot of talk about Ten Hag, his position at the club. Is it tenable? Are the players backing him? Are they singing from the same hymn sheet? And yeah, look, I want to get your thoughts because you've got a lot to say during the games, Yuvraj. And what do you reckon, Ten Hag in or out?
I think it's one of those weird ones. I know what I say to you in the game. It's all out of passion and anger and in that moment. But I guess reflecting upon it, it's just been a cycle, hasn't it? It's been the same rinse and repeat system that United have gone through post-Ferguson. They bring in a manager. They have no actual, I guess, forward-looking foresight around what the team wants to do, apart from, I guess, make money. That's ultimately the goal for the Glazers. It's not about performance. It's not about anything in terms of trophies. It's just literally how much revenue can they bring through the door on a year-by-year basis to ensure that they can pay themselves a nice lumpy dividends.
Which is fair. As owners, right? They're within their right to do that because they still put money into the club. That's what people are saying right now. This is what that counter argument is. Oh, you lot are taking money, but then they've gone and spent 90 million on a dud winger.
See, now,
who's probably not even good for your bench.
The point there you just made was a fallacy. They do not put a single penny in. It's reinvestment of the club's generated revenue. That's what's reinvested. It's nothing on their own money. There was some sort of statistic about this. I don't know. I don't have it to hand, but
yeah,
they're probably one of the lowest in terms of money funds provided as owners of clubs in the Premier League in the last 15 years or so. I mean, you look at Man City, that money's fully been invested and provided from the sheikhs. Newcastle will be going down a very similar route at the moment. Obviously, they've just started, so that's understandable. Chelsea, throughout all of it, I mean, what was it? Abramovich wrote off, nearly £1 billion that was owed to him when he sold the club. So there's a difference between the two, United as a club specifically, and I guess the rest of the other big clubs that you're kind of referencing to. Arsenal themselves, a majority of the money there, I mean, you'll know better than I will, but I'm fairly certain Stan Kroenke doesn't put that much money in.
No, he doesn't put that much money in, and we reinvest well. And we went through our own cycle for years, over a doubt, even with Wenger in the last years. It's bad recruitment. And we started to loosen up those purse strings towards the end. Lacazette, Aubameyang, once again, probably not the best signings, but they kept us going for a little bit, scored a few goals. But right now, the main difference is we've got a team there behind the actual first 11, behind the football, the squad, right? Behind the on-field team. We've got Edu, we've got Arteta, and there's a team around him, Richard Garlick as well. And they seem like they've got everything on point right now. They're making good decisions. Maybe they're not getting their first plan A, but they're going for the plan B, and it's pulling off. It looks good, right? But we've not spent as much money as you guys, or if we have, then we haven't spent much more than you guys, right?
No club has
There's a team behind.
No club has come close to spending the type of money United have spent. So, I mean, that's not something that you can really argue too much. But it's but that's your point there. The structure, the infrastructure around Arteta is key. He has someone above him. He has the recruitment team working towards a single goal, the type of football that they want to play. Is it, again, I could be wrong. Is it Edu that you guys have got in there as well?
It's Edu, yeah. And he's had stick over the years, you know, for not selling players. We've had, that's another thing that we've done that maybe you guys have to do is just terminate contracts, let people go on a free. You've got people there that have just been lapping it up. And
yeah, that's another thing. United are so bad at recouping any money from any of their players. I mean, look at Liverpool, look at City. I mean, City alone in the last 2 years have sold academy players for about, what, just shy of £200 million? Academy players. But United are struggling to kind of what? They managed to just offload Fred for £10 million. And he's played in the Premier League for 6-7 years. Granted, might not be exceptional, but I mean, at 29 years old, they still say like midfielders are peaking between the ages of 27, 31, 32, maybe. And he hasn't played that many games, so I'm sure he's still got enough gas in those legs to kind of keep going for a couple more years at least. But you'd expect they would be able to make at least 20, 30 million off them. I mean, Liverpool, Jordan Ibe. Bournemouth basically funded quite a substantial amount of like Liverpool's. They kickstarted Liverpool's, I guess, redemption during Jurgen Klopp's era. Was it Andre Wisdom?
No, it wasn't Wisdom. He didn't suffer much.
They even sold Solanke. They got Solanke on a free from Chelsea, and then two seasons later sold him across. It just seems like everything about United in the back room doesn't function well, and it's weird because I can imagine every single one of those people. Ed Woodward, Richard Arnold, all of these guys, they all must be paid quite well. None of them would have taken the job on the cheap, which begs the question, why hire them in the first place who have no, I guess, knowledge about football, no understanding of it? Like, Ed Woodward is just he's a numbers guy. He's a finance person. But to elevate him into a situation where he's part of the negotiation of the purchase of football players, he has no idea about football. He has no concept of that. He might be very good in a room down in the City when they're kind of locking deals in for investment banks and things like that. But it's a difficult kettle of fish. Why bring someone in like that who does not have the necessary experience, especially in a club so big? You're going to be in the forefront of all newspapers. They're going to want the articles. They're going to want the leak. They're going to want the information. And it put him in the wrong position to begin with. But he didn't help himself either because he came out and said that, oh, United is the biggest club in the world. We're going to draw superstars. And his idea was he basically just wanted to play fantasy football himself. He thought he was playing a game of FIFA. That's it. He was going in, finding out what the release clauses of players were or they're valued at £100 million on transfermarket.com and putting bids in of 115, 140 million to make sure he secures things. Now, I know it's an exaggeration, but it's the same concept. Like Paul Pogba, 95 million. Lukaku, 70, whatever million. Di Maria, 60 odd or whatever it was, and then got sold a year later for a 10 million loss.
Some of this goes back to what James was saying, though. You sign some players, and then that, I don't know what it's called, but it's like that player liaison, that's just not there. That aftercare, the care for those players. Luke Shaw, for instance, coming to Manchester and living off takeaways for the first however long when he was living with his mates. That kind of stuff doesn't help players settle in. Things like Di Maria, you know, leaving because he hated Manchester. Things like, these are quality players you're talking about. Yeah. Pogba, Lukaku, and Di Maria, you'd expect them to all succeed, actually.
That's also just like simple, like, I mean, being Ed Woodward, like, in any sort of deal, he'll do some due diligence, right? I mean, I work in finance, but just generally speaking, when you do anything, if you're purchasing something, you do a bit of due diligence. You buy a car, you look at the history of the car, the make, the model, etc., etc. Di Maria just did not like Manchester. It was very obvious from the get-go he just wasn't happy in Manchester. They could have had a bit of conversation with him, sounded him out, and been like, yeah, we can buy him, but it's going to be very difficult to convince him to stay in this place. He doesn't seem that keen on it. So why spend the money? Why spend the money on someone that you know from the forefront is not going to be happy at the club? He's coming for the salary. That's literally the only point that he's going to be coming in for. There was no desire. There was no burning passion to play because he instantly just went to PSG. He was fantastic. Like, he had glimpses when he played for United, but It just wasn't it.
Nah, he's a baller. He proved that after he left, and he hate. You know what? Has he scored a couple goals against United since?
I'm sure in the PSG United games, I'm sure he did well against them. But that's the point. Like, he turned it on as soon as he left United. But you can tell the atmosphere at the club, it wasn't for him. He didn't want to be in Manchester. He didn't appreciate it. He just didn't like
it or something. The place.
Now, how much of that, though, comes from a manager?
Probably a fair amount. But if you come in with a mindset that you are going to hate it there, anything that goes wrong, you will kind of cling on to and make that much worse. If any given situation, any one of us, if we were asked to do something none of us wanted to, like Anish, your work turned around and said, oh, we're going to move you to,
anywhere.
Where would you hate to go?
Grimsby?
Forget that. Out of the country.
Oh, God, I don't know. Not to say, just say
Romania.
In case we've got any Romanian listeners, we probably don't. But
let's just say a remote island somewhere. You're not going to want to go. You're going to get there. Anything that goes wrong is just going to piss you off. You know that. Anything. It will be the same for all of us.
That is true. But look, are we avoiding the? Yeah, go on. Right.
I think there's an elephant in the room here, right? Obviously, we know the infrastructure is not great. It's never been great at United, even when Fergie was there. We all know that. But Fergie, given he is the greatest of all time, right? He still managed to get results on the pitch regardless. And he's put out some shocking... There were shocking teams where you had, like, the two Brazilian brother left-backs. What were they called again, James? Remind me. Yeah. Those brother, you had people like Anderson on the bench. You had Owen Hargreaves, who played about 5 games a season. Fergie still managed to get that team over the line every single season, right?
But see, that
the difference we're having now, though, you've got your manager still picking 11 players, and he's had his players. He's bought his players from the Eredivisie. He's had Mason Mount, but I'm still seeing excuses. Why has no Man United fans stood up and criticised the manager for what he's done? Again, you will blame the infrastructure. That's fine. I'm not going to blame you for that. You've got every right to do that. But why is that the biggest talking point and not what Eric Ten Hag is producing? Because if you look at how you're playing like Burnley, bro. You're waiting for a counter attack, and you're hitting a long ball over the top.
Yeah,
like that's not Manchester United. People talk about Ten Hag ball. What is Ten Hag ball? Have you seen Ten Hag ball? I've not seen Ten Hag ball. We've had a mutual friend, who said, "What is it?" And James himself, he struggled to answer the question. So, both you Man United boys, what is Ten Hag ball, and what is actually going on right now? And are you seeing what you thought? Because when you go into a club and you say, oh, all errors come to an end, you've got your fan base gassed, thinking, yeah, he's going to do it. He's our guy, bro. But he's not that guy right now.
I don't disagree with you, but I think the issue is the exact same thing has happened to 4 managers before him. And a few of them are, like, some of the best in the business, like Jose Mourinho. Granted, he was coming off a couple of bad stints, but he is still one of the best managers of this century. Like, there's no disagreement on that front. I'm not going to say he's the best, because he's not, but he is definitely up there. He failed quite spectacularly. He had a very similar trajectory to Ten Hag. Louis van Gaal just came off taking Holland into, was it the Euros?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the World Cup, sorry. To the finals, like, he was doing well. Again, he started off implementing his system. It wasn't great, got the results. And then again, the second season. Yeah. I mean, the way they dismissed him to this day is still probably one of the greatest insults that anyone can get. Having just won an FA Cup and then being asked by interviewers that there's rumours that you're going to be let go.
It's crazy.
Like, 5 minutes after just winning a trophy is probably one of the most disrespectful things the club had ever done. But I mean, they repeat the same thing with David De Gea. Like, so
covers a shambles.
I understand your point, and yeah, Ten Hag needs to be questioned. And to an extent, I said this to Anish a lot, because it's the same concept. Like, Ten Hag knew what he was getting himself into. It's not like this was kept under the or hush-hush. It was always a secret within Manchester United. It's been well documented. Everyone's, like, reported on this for years. Yeah. We know the problems. He's gone in there and he's thought that he can fix it. Well, clearly he couldn't. He thought, but I guess you have to give him some props to that, because coming into a situation and wanting to kind of make that change is valiant. Yeah, he's failing at the moment, but I think, again, it's just the issue will be a rinse and repeat situation, because what would be the solution? You fire Ten Hag, you hire a new manager. The new manager's going to say the same thing. Oh, yeah. I've got all these players. I don't like any of these guys. These aren't my guys. I need 300 million. I need the summer. Summer comes, they buy their players. Everyone gets a bit excited. You've got all these players just sitting on the bench on £300,000 a week. They're never going to get any money for them, because this is what Manchester United do. They'll have some sort of success, or they'll scrape through, and they'll be like, next summer, once he's got most of the majority of the spine of the team under this new manager's ethos and edict, we'll start cooking. Same thing will happen. Something will start going wrong, and then the same culprits will start coming up. The same rumours will start flying. Oh, the manager doesn't have the backing of the players. He's lost the dressing room. Yada, yada, yada. Rinse and repeat. And we'll be in the same situation.
Everything he said is 100% correct, because that's what happened with every single manager. So I'm not even going to deny that. That's a really good point.
So why do you think that he should be sacked then, if you agree with that?
Okay, can I say this though first? Obviously, I'm a Chelsea fan, and I know where, in terms of the table and how the club is, we are pretty much the same level as Manchester United. But with us, you can actually see what the owners and the staff are trying to do by buying these high potential young players. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm saying at least you can see what they're trying to aim for. With Manchester United, I don't see what you guys are trying to aim for, because we bought a load of seeds, right? Waiting for them to blossom, right? You guys have bought some ready meals, right? But I'm not really seeing where the projection's going. Like, where is the club going to end up? Because right now, it is a steep decline right now, when you think about it.
But what you just said is the key point there. You just said your manager and your owners have a clear direction of what they want to do. You're buying the young talent.
Fair enough.
There isn't that same level at Manchester United. The Glazers are not in agreement and in conjunction with Ten Hag of how he wants to see football. They don't care about the football side. They don't. I still don't think they have an understanding of football. They probably still call it soccer, and they don't know what soccer is. They don't know what a right wing player is. They don't know what a striker is. They'll be looking at, oh, he's a forward, he's a linebacker. Those are the kind of references that they'll probably have, because they know American football more than they know. Yeah. Actually, they probably don't even know American football.
Oh, this guy's owner was saying 4-4-3 is formation. It's just for Champions League win. I don't know what. Come on, it can't get much worse than that, surely.
Yeah.
It's an investment for them. I mean, they had money on the table in the summer. They didn't want to let it go. They thought they could get more and more and more, and they were greedy about it. And they'll probably keep rinsing money out of the club. I mean, there was a new thing that came out today that apparently United are literally £1 billion in debt. They've got they've got the initial 500 million loan. They've got a further 300 million on a credit card. I don't know who the fuck gave.
Which bank is approving that, bro? That much on a credit card. Crazy.
The APR on that must be mad. But and then they still owe £200 million on player fees. So majority of that will be
players.
Yeah, I can't imagine who that is, but. I mean, yeah, Ten Hag definitely still deserves a lot of criticism. Like, he's bought players. And one thing I've said to Anish, I said to the point where you said earlier about Ferguson used to pull out some of the wackiest teams in the world. Like, that one game that made Pogba decide that he wanted to leave United, when Ferguson put De Silva, Rafael in midfield, along with, I don't know, was it Johnny Evans, one of the centre-backs. And he was like, I can't even get into midfield like that. Like, I need to leave this club. But Ferguson still managed to get result. And the key reason for that, I think, is Ferguson always made sure the team had a lot of functional players. And I've said this word to Anish, and Anish was like, I don't know what you mean by functional players. And the one thing I think, football's obviously progressed from the early 2000s, late 90s. But I think the one thing that still stands true is clubs need to have functional players. And Barcelona, for example, Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, had a lot of functional players. But I mean, someone who knows precisely what their job is, they are very, very, very good at one particular thing, and they don't try to overstretch themselves. So if you go back to United, Rio Ferdinand and Vidic were very, very, very good centre-backs. Vidic wasn't that great on the ball, but he knew how to tackle. Fernand would read the game really, really well. He was slightly better on the ball. Michael Carrick was a very good passer, but he wasn't that skilled in loads of things. These were very good functional players who knew what their job was and would do it very, very well to a very high standard consistently. You'd get a 7 out of 10 performance from all of these players. Then you'd have a few sprinkles of like magic. You'd have the Ronaldos, you'd have the Roonies who could just run around, you have the Nani, the flair players, the ones that can just do a little bit here and there. Same thing with Barcelona. Xavi was exceptional, but he never used to do the crazy stuff. Like Iniesta used to go on like little runs here and there. Lionel Messi was just given free rein. But at the same time, you had like David Villa used to do his job and used to do it exceptionally well for Barcelona. Carlos Puyol was very, very, very good at defending. He didn't do much else. Like Dani Alves, yeah, but he worked with Messi so well. So he was given a bit more free rein. But they were, again, I could be wrong, but I would classify them as very good, exceptional, functional players with a sprinkle of amazing things out there. But Man United, you look at them, like, I wouldn't know what you're saying. Like, N'Golo Kante is probably the purest functional player, I would say. He was exceptional at defending. Mm-hmm. That guy would track back, man marking, anything you wanted to do from a defensive perspective, like Claude Makélélé. Like Makélélé made that role himself. But that was an exceptional functional player in my eyes because he knew what his role was in the team and he did it to a fault. He did it to a T. He didn't try to overstep. You look at United, like who would I classify as a functional player at that club right now?
James, you watch them.
Yeah, come on, James. You'd say your piece. I know you've been holding it in. So.
Yeah, there's not many functional. He's got probably Martinez is his go-to at the back.
But what's that's so, the but, one but guy Martinez, that he knows he can rely on when he's fit. But what's his one key attribute that you can say, you know what, you can rely on Martinez to do one thing very well? And don't say kick players because that obviously doesn't
matter. He's a good defender. He's good.
He's a very good he's defender, good at building out from the... I think
yeah, but he's petulant he helps and he loses a lot his head.
Playing out from the back.
When the team doesn't do somewhat well, you see it in games, and he hasn't played for a while, but he loses his head. He doesn't have control of his own anger. He gets angry about it. But I mean, to your point, like Anish, look at Saliba and Gabriel. Gabriel, initially, a couple of seasons ago, strikers would be able to get into his head. Nowadays, he doesn't take any shit. It doesn't matter who he's playing against, he doesn't get irritated. He doesn't get involved.
Yeah, he's earned his stripes. We had Brian over here saying that he's had the Bozo gene in him. But
did he not have a Bozo gene, though?
That's what I think you're saying, that he had that. Maybe he had that. But right now, I think things have calmed down. He's a lot more stable in that.
He knows what his job is. He knows what his role is in the team. He does it supremely well.
It's true.
And it's the same. Like a lot of players have, like Declan Rice for you guys. Absolutely amazing. Fantastic functional player. Thomas Partey, again, same thing. They don't skip around.
I think that's a bit harsh on Martinez.
Maybe you might be right.
I think he is a
okay. All right, last Martinez, season, one out.
He was
one
a very good
11.
Player for us. He was yeah, there's not many.
Do you see my point? Like, I can understand. Like,
Casemiro is good at what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to cover the back four.
I know, but I think this year.
Last season he was good.
Season. You say last season like it's 10 years have gone by since last season. Or something.
A lot happens though. Your legs
but
are
I mean,
gone.
So far this season I've not seen it.
You don't really believe that.
Yes, I do.
This
yes,
is one of the key things as well.
His legs have gone, man. It's quite obvious.
This is one of the key things.
Than do you remember Fabinho the season after that alleged nearly quad season they had?
Oh, the quad season.
What I'm saying. It takes it out of you. You're not the same guy you used to be. Like even mentally, bro, it takes it out of them. You got to think of it like that.
Yeah, that's another key thing in terms of recruitment. Last season, buying Eriksen
big contracts,
and Casemiro.
Big contracts, big
as
wages.
Your midfielders. Both 30.
Both, they were good stopgaps.
There's no planning on that. Yeah, that's
there was
more
no,
short. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Who
there's
was
no
the,
long-term
the
plan with that. And now we're suffering.
Mason Mount is not an Eriksen replacement. Yeah. They do not play the same thing. Eriksen can sit deep now. Maybe in his younger ages, he would probably be similar to like Mason Mount. He wants to play that number eight role.
Yeah.
But you've got Bruno Fernandes for that. So what is Mason Mount coming in to replace Bruno Fernandes? Like what does Anthony do? What is the one thing Anthony's genuinely like? That for me, like that's probably the worst single signing that Erik ten Hag has done. and it's actually just ridiculous.
And I'll just tell you, I think it's one of the worst signs Man United made in terms of like high profile. Because
he loves the Yanni.
I know. I think it's true though, because they criticize us for spending 100 M's on a player. So I'm gonna return the favor. Granted, an extra 30 million was because it was so late in the window and you had to pay that much, right? I get that. Fair enough. It happens. It is what it is. You've got to get them out.
But that's a similar mistake. It's the same thing they did with Fellaini. Like, Moyes knew his release clause. He was like, nah, don't worry about it. We'll buy him. We'll get him. And then they waited until like the last day. And again, you give the team that you're buying from 2 minutes to go buy a replacement. Like, what are Ajax going to do about a week or two before the end of the transfer window, knowing full well every single club's going to know they've just had 60, 70 million, 80 million from Man United?
Truthfully, they probably bought someone in from the academy who's much better.
Probably, but why didn't United just sort the deal out at the start of the summer? Ten Hag wanted him. They spent so much time on the whole Frankie de Jong nonsense. And it was, again, very clear. Like, de Jong came out and said, I don't want to leave Barcelona. Barcelona were trying to push him towards the door, but he kept saying, I don't want to leave. At that point, United should have been like, all right, fair enough. He doesn't want to go. Let's move on.
But that's the thing. When Erik ten Hag comes in and, look, I know Ante's not your marquee signing, but he was his man at his old club, big money signing. I'm sorry, like, you talk about it takes time for players to bed in. Of course, that's natural. But as a fan, I would be so frustrated if ten Hag put all this money on this one guy, his guy, and he's putting up performances the way he's doing it. It's crazy.
Also, why have a recruitment team? As someone who's a scouting person, why have anyone in the club right now if all we're doing is just buying people Erik ten Hag wants? Like, there's no... I cannot imagine for the life
of me
Anthony was one of the players that United scouts were looking at and saying, oh, he's magnificent. His output was just... meh.
His output even at Ajax he wasn't putting up mad numbers even at Ajax. Like, he was a good player for Ajax and one of their key players, but he didn't have mad numbers in there.
He does get back, though, and I think that's one... You say functional, he does help. I think was actually a functional player for Ten Hag. That was actually what Ten Hag did.
Eredivisie compared to the Premier League, it's a completely different ballgame.
No,
I get what he means in terms of he got a player that could just fit, go into his system, and he knew would listen to him. He knew he had a player straight away the first year that if I tell him to do this, he'd do it. Because we clearly know Sancho wasn't doing it.
In terms of an attacking output, like I don't. You can look at a lot of wingers and say, all right, you know what they're going to do. Salah, for example, is going to beat him.
Yeah.
He's got good pace. He's got good agility. He's going to take them down the wing and he's going to turn them. Fantastic. Sterling is a very similar thing. Leroy Sané is a bit more tricky. He'll cut in, he'll cut out. What is Anthony's skill apart from trying to get it onto his left foot and doing those weak shots?
It's finesse shots.
He scored two goals out of all those things. But as in, like, you know what? It's like Robin. Everyone knew what Robin was going to do. Robin was going to cut inside, but he was so good at it. Like. But there's just nothing. Like, Anthony does not provide crosses. Like, I can't remember the last time he actually crossed the ball into the box and got an assist or hit his man. It's the same with Rashford on the other side. What you've got a striker now who's fairly tall. Give him some chances. He gets nothing.
Yeah.
The way the team plays now is now it's gone to long ball again. It's just Johnny Evans, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes coming back and just hitting a long ball and using Hoyland's pace and hoping that somehow he'll get past four defenders.
That's Sean Dyche tactics. How's that happening at Manchester United? That's crazy.
Evans looks decent, though.
Yeah, how can we say he picked Johnny Evans over Varane due to tactical reasons? Bro, how does Evans that make sense?
Because he's good on the ball. I think he's better than everyone
better
else.
Better than Champions League Varane, as James used to call him.
Better than Varane on the ball, He's better than Varane on the ball, definitely.
Yeah, but I mean,
Varane's a bit shaky on the ball.
The problem with that is how much of the ball were United going to see in a game against Man City? Let's be honest.
Listen, I don't even know what you were saying. You don't sound depressed.
I ain't depressed. I'm smiling.
On a football sense, right, this guy doesn't even sound like. I feel like you know that you're in a project. That's the difference.
I've admitted that. I know we're going to have a very difficult few years, but I can see what we're trying to do. Again, don't know if we'll get there, but we're trying to do that. Man United, if I was a Man United fan, I'd be terrified right now because I wouldn't know where my next win is coming. I don't know where my next title is coming. I don't know if my manager's going to be in 3-4 months' time. Because right now, Champions League's looking long for you, man. You got let off against Copenhagen, nearly. Onana, amazing save. I'll give him that. Great penalty save. If that goes in, you guys were in serious trouble.
Yeah, they're out of the Champions League event.
Yeah. That's the thing. You guys, you're comfy being a Chelsea fan because you know you got the people to set a plan.
It's sad.
Whereas we're just stuck.
Yeah, but I thought Jimmy Radcliffe wants to come in and take the 25%, and then he's going to make all the football.
We don't even know what's going on with that.
Did you see what Gary Neville was saying, though? He was like, oh, Jamie, you got to understand the football people there don't know if they were going to get sacked or whatnot, if they're keeping their jobs. Jamie Carragher wasn't having it. He was just like, no, criticize the players.
Yeah, but
I get Carragher because Ten Hag deserves the criticism for the tactics and stuff like that. I get that part. But as we've already mentioned here, it is just going to be a rinse and repeat if we did just get rid of him. Some of the players as well, I think it's time for some of these players.
Some.
We hear it the same every 2 years when it gets bad for a manager. The manager's too disciplined. The manager's making them train too hard. Some of these players we know now, but we need to just get rid of them, no matter who they are. I don't know the names because I'm not there in the training ground, but
There's a gang in there.
There's certain players, and they're probably some of our favourites, which is going to hurt me to say, are probably some of the guys that are just shutting down as soon as they're like, I've had enough. Let's get this guy sacked now.
But you know what?
Wait for the next man.
There's definitely like a Telegram group of certain rogue players.
Yeah.
Just sending memes of the manager, bro. Just taking shots.
Yeah. Sancho's leading it right now. He's the admin of that group. He's probably online right now. Someone's searching.
He'll be playing. You said it before. Once they start taking pictures of the rappers, it's done.
Yeah,
it's
game over.
Oh, yeah.
Marcus Rashford, exactly. He scored one goal. He had the best season of his life. Gets a 350 grand contract, and now he's missing this season. He's MIA, bro.
But he always does that, though. He is like the most patch footballer out there. He's either good or he's just bad. There's no middle ground with him. You don't get a 6 out of 10. You get a 2 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10 from him. Oof. But yeah, you know what? Sorry. You know that one point Ryan said about what Gary Neville said, and he's like, oh, all these people, the backroom staff, all that kind of stuff, they'll be lost, being like, oh, they don't know if their job's secure. Football is like in a bit of a weird bubble. Like any other job, if I had whiff at work thinking, oh, they're going to start making like redundancies at work, I'm pulling my socks up. I'm working my ass off. I am making sure that they do not fire me. I am not on the firing line. I'm not on the chopping block. I make sure my work is done. It's done to a high level. I put in the extra mile. But football, for some reason, it's almost as if Gary Neville saying that it's acceptable that they can just come into work and be like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I need a mental health day because I might lose my job at getting paid £5,000 a week to make sure that Anthony runs around those cones at training sessions. Like, God forbid they ask me to do a bit more work and put all my socks up. Like, again, I'm saying that because of what Gary Neville said, and I don't agree with what he said. Now, I'm not trying to insinuate that those guys aren't working at the club, but I hate the excuses that he makes sometimes about stuff like that. You can't just... They're getting paid obscene amounts of money. Even the backroom staff, like, they're getting paid well. Just work. Like, it's not a crazy, crazy, like, taxing job. You're not in the forefront of all these things. You're not getting paparazzi at your door. You're not getting fans hounding you. Your backroom staff. Like, this stuff shouldn't impact you that much. And ultimately, like, if you're good at your job, if you lose your job, you should be able to find yourself another job. But if you're scared that you're going to lose your job and you don't have another job, you don't think you can get another job lined up, that speaks more about your effort and your skills than it does about anything else.
I think you're wrong. I think I don't think anyone's getting the sack there. No one's getting the sack. Even Ronaldo said he came back, it was the same dinner ladies, same receptionist, same, you know, everyone's the same. I know that you didn't like that, James, when he came out and he just started dissing everyone, saying why is what everyone says is like a time machine.
Yeah. Yeah, send him for the receptionist. Fair, I don't know if you saw the Beckham documentary. She was on there. She looked like a nice lady.
Yeah, she was really nice.
Yeah, like what's she done? She just takes all the parcels in, says hello to everyone. How can you be a dead receptionist and it means Yashra doesn't got 30 goals because my receptionist is dead? Like, come on, don't go for the receptionist, bro.
Civilian.
Like, okay, some of the people there probably are the reasons why we're such a dead club at the moment, but the ones he was calling out was a bit, I guess you're just saying it as in, this is what I mean, but yeah, the receptionist stuff was a bit too much.
But it cycles, isn't it? Again, Ten Hag might have been talking about United as a club itself. It's a cycle. Sometimes cycles come to an end. Maybe a lot of these people in the back need to go for a new cycle to start.
It seems like that. Now it just needs a full rip down of everything.
A pain, but if the foundations are still the same and they're crumbling, there's nothing a pretty face is going to do about it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I hear that. Look, before we sign off, I just want to ask for both of you: if Man United go on a run, let's say they lose, obviously you're playing Newcastle tonight. We're recording this before that, but let's assume you beat Newcastle, but then you lose in the league the next 3-4 games, or really, really underwhelming performances.
Yeah.
Are you going to start calling for his head? I know you've mentioned it would just be rinse and repeat. I get that. But then as a fan, there's only going to be so much that you can tolerate watching.
Yeah. I was going to ask the same
question. So it's a fine line.
And who is it? You've got, next you've got
Fulham, I think.
Fulham.
And then Liverpool.
We've got some
Copenhagen, Luton.
Oh, it's Luton.
And Everton. So you've got winnable. Newcastle should be winning at home. Fulham.
Copenhagen. Luton rubbing their, licking their lips at that first win
they'd
of the league.
That's the first
win of the season. It would be Man United who gives them the first win of the season with any team.
There's no winnable game when it comes to United, man. There is no such thing as a winnable game.
That's what it's turning into.
You can bank on.
Wow.
Yeah, so what are you saying?
So go on. You lose the next 3-4 games, really bad underwhelming performances. Where do you stand on Erik ten Hag?
I'd still be in the keep. I'd rather keep him and just see this out and get rid of players. I'm ready to switch on players now more than him because these same players have been doing this same shit. And now it's just too long. The same, like I said, stories you hear when it gets a bit rough. Oh, he's making us train later. Oh, the training's hard. Oh, he's too strict. It's the same shit. Ragnick had it. I think he made them train in the evenings or something, and they kicked off about that when he was temporary manager. Obviously, yeah, it's going to be hard, but I'd rather just keep until there's an actual structure set in place behind any manager we have. I don't think it's time to just go and sack the manager until we've got a proper structure. So if it is Jim Ratcliffe that comes in and talks out that he wants Paul Mitchell, some John Claude, something who was at Juve and PSG as a director, who looks like on his CV looks good from what he's done. Until he's got a structure that I can actually look at and go, okay.
You trust it.
That looks like they could have a project now. Yeah. Then let's see what he can do now once they've had a few months or a year to blend in and get things settled. But even then, they could get a good structure in and they still got to go and ask the Glazers for money for, can we sign off this check because you own more of the club than us? And they'd just be like, nah. So you never know what's going to happen with everything. But yeah.
What are you saying, bud? You get 4 points from, if you get 4 points from Fulham, Luton, Everton and Newcastle, what do you reckon?
Manager got to go. Newcastle's Carling Cup, so
no. Newcastle's the last game in the league, I'm just talking purely league here. Actually, let's add a bit of Champions League in there. Let's say you get 3 points from each. Let's say you get kicked out of Champions League, actually, because that's actually how it's looking. By the way, it's looking like you ain't going to make that.
Reality.
And these lot are up for it. And that's the other thing. Everyone that plays you now are up for it. They're up for it. They know that.
Yeah,
that's going to be a hard game. Copenhagen away, it looks like it's going to be hard now that you've now that it gave you a good game at home as well.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's say you get kicked out of the Champions League, actually. So it's the Europa ones, if that. Fulham away, let's say you win that. Everton, Luton, you get 1 point from those two games. And then Newcastle, you lose that as well. What do you reckon? Yeah, manager's got to go after that for me, man. You're going to get grilled.
He'll only go when it's statistically impossible for United to make Champions League next season, because Glazers won't want to pay the Champions League clause or whatever
they
it
do
is.
It all the time.
There'll always be that thing. But I think I agree the same thing as James said. Like, it's not worth it. It's going to be the same thing over again. You'll get a bounce from a new manager. Things will potentially look a bit hunky-dory, but it'll be the same thing. But it kind of seems like Ten Hag just doesn't not care, but he seems a bit laissez-faire about it himself. Like last season when they were losing against these clubs, he wasn't, you could tell he was pissed off in the interviews. You could tell he was seething. There was anger in there. But again, against City, the interview post City game, 3-0, I thought we played good for the first half. We were toe-to-toe with Manchester City, and then the penalty changed the whole game. Like,
yeah, he looks wounded himself now. He looks like he's lost a bit of confidence. And the recent thing that he said about he'll never play Ajax football at United.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw
the quote. That was a bit weird. I found that a bit strange. But I don't know what's going on here.
But Ajax have a structure. They have a system. I mean, they're doing absolutely. I don't know what's going on with them this season. Like they're in the relegation position right now.
Yeah.
But they've always had a style of play. And that has always been right from the beginning. So from academy all the way through. But that structure is there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're getting when you're going into that club. It's the same with like Borussia Dortmund as well. You say that. Like, I know they churn players out, but they have a system. They have a style of play. Bayern Munich have a system and they have a style of play. All of these clubs have a certain system and it works right the way from the top down to the bottom. United is probably one of the only clubs out there that doesn't have something like that. I mean, you look at Brighton, look how well they're doing. But that's because the owners have the vision and they share it.
They do. And they made a lot of good sales as well, which is something that United won't, you know.
It's true.